did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Why did they do that? You know, it's a rhetorical question. King David wasn't participating in oratorical gymnastics. But what did he know in Psalm chapter 2 that few know today or even consider? David knew a much future obsessive rage would overtake global governments to the point of seeking to destroy Israel and her spiritual offspring. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Nordstrom, and welcome to the program today. Listen to this carefully. World leaders are becoming increasingly and acutely aware of a unique spiritual dynamic taking place on the earth these days. A church. They're seeing a church that's rapidly coming to fully embrace a spiritual agenda that's opposed to all the demonically inspired plans to bring about a one world order, and to do it while wholeheartedly supporting Israel in the environment of a mostly Gentile church. Huh? Well, let me say it this way. The peoples, the presidents, the prime ministers, the dictators, demagogues are going to erupt in a vain rage and plot against the Lord and His beloved, Psalm chapter 2. And erratic, demonically inspired global leadership that have come to believe these Jesus people might actually get their act together and pull off some of their end time agendas. Thus, the nations are going to demonically rage against such a scenario. Over 5 million intercessors across the globe recently entered into fasting and prayer for Israel for 21 days. Unheard of. It's never been done before that anybody knows of. That didn't go unnoticed, though, in the heavens or on the earth. Prayer movements like those forming across the earth don't happen in a vacuum. World leaders take notice of what we do. So do the principalities and the powers of the air. Now, let that sink in for a moment, because if what I just said registers with you, Psalm 2 must take on a much different meaning in the days ahead. Let me give you some brief statistics. There are some 1.2 billion Hindus in the world, 1.8 billion Muslims, some 500 million Buddhists. But listen, the rage of the nations is not seemingly against them. It's the God of Israel and His beloved, the ecclesia, the church, that they want to eliminate. Listen to the prophet Joel in chapter 3, verse 2. I will also gather all the nations. I'll bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel. Who is they? Those coming late-stage world leaders who have come once again to scatter Israel among the nations and divide up the land. You see, God's going to judge these demonically inspired globalists. Revelation 12:17, and the dragon, that's the Satan, the dragon was enraged with the woman, Israel, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, the church, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, there's going to be an assembly of believers on the earth, functioning in a spiritual dynamic and in a capacity like never before, never seen before. There were a handful of those folks back at Pentecost, but there's going to be millions, perhaps even billions, prior to the Lord's return. A summoned church operating in a John 14 power and anointing. This is how Jesus explained it to His disciples. Mostly assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Ever wondered what those greater works are? Well, I'll tell you what they're not. They're not pandering calls for Cadillacs, condominiums, and cabin cruisers. It's the church, after the heavens have been vacated of the accuser of the brethren, the Satan, a summoned assembly of the body of Christ, fulfilling its end-time mandate and destiny, doing the greater works on the earth, exploits, signs, and wonders under the extraordinary anointing of the Holy Spirit, a church of Jesus Christ, fast becoming a martyr witness testimony to the nations in the coming great tribulation. Let me read the first couple verses of Psalm 2 once again, a bit from a contemporary perspective. Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Why? Because they, the global powers, have come to realize this global religious community, the church, has come to actually believe and respond to the prophetic and apocalyptic call their God has been actually preparing them for. The rulers of the earth saying, let's break that up. Let's break their bonds in pieces. Let's cast away their cords from us. You see, they're gripped with rage over the whole idea that one God can actually claim to be the God, calculating to resist God's government on the earth at all costs. They're saying this, if we can break what unites them and the covenants and commitments that have bound them together, we'll be successful. And by the way, they'll have a mysterious man on the earth to lead the rebellion, the Antichrist, harnessing the full cooperation of the demonic principalities of the air to lead a short-lived coup d'etat. Well, King David, by the Spirit, calls those efforts vain, an empty, worthless thing that has no purpose and ultimately no good outcome. Today, the secular world is increasing efforts to spiritually neutralize people like you and me, who we worship and the way in which we do it, and I'd submit those efforts are becoming more intense as we approach the birth pains leading to the Lord's return. We're often seen as spiritual Neanderthals, barnacles in the line of progress, out of touch. Enter the woke agendas, an economic reset of the world's monetary systems, a one-world effort to bring peace and safety to a regurgitating planet. The great error is thinking that if God revealed Himself to men, they would believe and they would repent. Listen, one does not necessarily lead to the other. God has been in plain sight from the beginning, and the world still doesn't get it. What King David is describing here in Psalm chapter 2 is really remarkable. It's a full-throated exposing of the mystery of iniquity that began in the garden, and it continues to this day. But the irony here is that when God reveals Himself and His plan to rule according to His righteousness, men will not repent and submit. They'll actually rage against Him. The book of Revelation describes this scenario in great detail. In Revelation chapter 9, the Apostle John describes all hell breaking loose on the earth. Then in verse 21, John says it, In all of that, they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. To put it another way, in today's language, their abortions, their drugs and pornography, the very thing that's rapidly escalating in the earth today. You know what's remarkable about the opening verses of Psalm chapter 2? Why did the nations rage and why did they plot? Is that they set us in the middle of a story that's already started. The nations have been against God from the very beginning, from the fall, and that rage was ramped up considerably when the Son of Man emerged from the grave. It's a mystery, Paul tells us, is a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which Paul says none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. World leaders in this time frame are responding to something that God made abundantly clear all the way back to the garden. There would be enmity, there would be an ongoing hostility between the seed of the Satan and the seed of the woman. That deadly rage will be short-lived. Psalm chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Listen to how God responds to this coming global rage. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in derision and contempt. Then He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill in Zion. Then the words of Jesus, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask me, ask of me, and I'm going to give you those nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. When? At his soon coming. Let's pray. My God, my God. You know, your word declares the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Your contempt and your judgment are soon coming to a sin-sick world. And you've graced your people like us, with the knowledge of your plan and its final outcome. My Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to reveal yourself to your church and to woo us and to draw us, pull us back into your presence in a way like we've never experienced before. There's a growing yes in our collective spirits, Father. You see this. You recognize this. And we want to know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings, that we might be conformed to your death. Father, as your word says, instruct us and teach us in the way we should go, and guide us with your eye upon us. We love you, Lord. You're a safe God, a loving Father, and your promises for your people are yes, and so be it. So we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Maranatha, beloved, I'm Bill Nordstrom.